Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620kpoj.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. December 18th, Tom Hartman here with you. Our quote for the day from Harry Emerson Fosdick: democracy is based on the conviction that there are extraordinary possibilities in ordinary people. Amen. Boy, a whole bunch going on. President-elect Barack Obama today, in all probability, is going to announce that Mary Shapiro is going to lead the Securities and Exchange Commission. Can she fix this thing? Particularly after Bernie Madoff made off with $50 billion. Oh, boy, what a mess. Rod Blagojevich says he's not going to appoint anybody to fill the Senate seat that was formerly occupied by Barack Obama. Harry Reid has said he's not going to accept anybody he picks, so why would he do that, says Blagojevich's editor, or attorney. The fellow, Muntadir el-Zaidi, who threw the shoe at George Bush, has apologized to the Iraqi prime minister for embarrassing him. I don't believe he's apologized to George Bush, which is, in my opinion, just fine. He, in fact, he says to the Iraqi prime minister, Nouri al-Maliki, he says, I remember in the summer of 2005, I interviewed your excellency and you told me, come on in, this is your house. So I appeal to your fatherly feelings to forgive me. And the British, by the way, announced yesterday that they're going to have all of their troops out by midsummer, all of them. And, I'm not hearing the right wingers bloviating about, you know, what happened to the troops and where did everybody go and all this kind of thing. But the topic that seems to be at the top of many people's minds, particularly progressives in America, is the choice by Barack Obama to have Pastor Rick Warren give the invocation at the presidential inauguration. The inauguration is opened with the invocation. It's essentially asking for God's blessing on the ceremony to follow and the events and all that sort of thing. And then it's closed. It's wrapped up with a benediction, which will be presented by Joseph Lowery, who has, first of all, is a lion of the civil rights movement and absolute direct lineage back to and long before, for that matter, the Reverend Martin Luther King. And Lowery, you know, one of his more famous statements, he said, the same folks who are against progress for black folks are the folks who are against progress for women and gays and farmers and the young people and peace activists. We have to understand it's one struggle. This is one America. And the sooner we learn that, the more effective our world will be. That's Joseph Lowery, who's going to close the ceremony. So he's sort of the opposite of Rick Warren, who has come out and equated Prop 8 and the opposition to Prop 8, but more accurately, equated gay marriage with things like incest and bestiality and pedophilia. He's taken some of these some of these extremist stands. And there are a number of people who are, I think, you know, with a very good reason and strong arguments and rationale, who are condemning Barack Obama for having Rick Warren give the invocation to the inauguration. The main argument against it is that by doing so, he's elevating Rick Warren to the status of America's number one preacher. I would argue that Rick Warren, in the minds of people who pay attention to who is America's number one preacher, probably already is. And of the right-wing Christian Taliban, he's probably the least toxic. He has said a number of things and over the years that, frankly, I think, inure to his credit. I'm not here to defend Rick Warren, but I do want to defend Barack Obama's decision. But first of all, just about Rick Warren, he reversed tithes. Unlike Jerry Falwell, who died a multimillionaire, unlike many of these guys, on the right. Pat Robertson, for example, sold his Christian Broadcasting Network for $1 billion cash. Pat Robertson's a billionaire. Jerry Falwell was a millionaire. Rick Warren, on the other hand, reverse ties. In other words, he gives away 90% of his income and keeps 10% of it. Now, 10% is still a heck of a lot because he sold 30 million books. And in hardcover, a typical book royalty is in the neighborhood of a dollar. And in paperback, a typical book royalty is in the neighborhood of 20 or 30 cents. So, you know, we're not talking about chump change here, in addition to the salary that he gets from being the pastor of one of America's five largest megachurches. But nonetheless, giving away 90%, you could argue, is more of a Christ-like example than what these other guys are doing, you know, chowing down and grubbing up as much as they can off their congregations and off their work. He has also worked very hard to get evangelicals to care about poverty, particularly poverty in Africa, but also poverty in the United States. He has put this front and center in much of his preaching, Rick Warren has. And perhaps most important, he has talked about how he's not, in his writings and in his preaching, at times he has had tremendous doubts about his own religion and about his own spirituality, which is absolutely anathema to the fundamentalists, to the hardcore, I want to say true believers, but frankly I think it's because their belief is weak. The hardcore evangelicals, it totally freaked them out, and many of them have been very critical of him for that. So, you know, George Bush chose Franklin Graham. Franklin Graham is part of the American Christian Taliban. Chose him to do his invocation. In other words, the right-wing president chose a right-wing pastor to do it. And in so, he was essentially, you know, blowing off everybody else. In my opinion, this is something quite different. I mean, consider, you know, Rick Warren, he's providing the invocation for the presidential inauguration. As a pastor whose books have been read by tens of millions of Americans and whose voice is respected by an equal or perhaps greater number, not necessarily on our side of the aisle, but across America, he has tremendous influence and power. And as an open homophobe, or at least anti-gay, whatever, I'm not sure exactly how he would label himself, but Rick Warren has aggressively worked to wound gay people in this country, as well as pretty much anybody else who doesn't believe his own particular and relatively recently invented version of Christian theology. Warren's sect is really only a couple hundred years old. And so many are suggesting that he should be the guy with the metaphorical bullseye on his back for our side. In other words, we should be attacking Rick Warren and we should be attacking Barack Obama for having him be the guy who is doing the invocation. But consider that metaphor for a moment. In Pakistan, there are entire regions filled with people who not only hate gays, they hate Americans as well, regardless of our religion. We have tried, so there, you know, with the metaphorical bullseye on the back, they literally have a bullseye on their back with regard to us. And we have tried bombing them, as did the Soviets, as did the British. In fact, three consecutive Western empires have tried threatening them, starving them, poisoning them, infiltrating them, and overpowering them, all without success. And then comes along this guy called named Greg Mortensen. He visits one of their villages. Actually, they took him to it. He was injured in a mountain climbing. He was trying to climb one of the top peaks of the Himalayas and was injured. And the people in this town took him in. He had three cups of tea with them, the title of his best-selling book. And as a consequence of his experience there and the way he followed up that experience, there are now dozens of these formerly Taliban-controlled villages where the people are rejecting the Taliban, openly embracing modernity and making their own local version of Islam more modern and less 10th century, and openly proclaiming themselves as friends of the United States. What was Greg Mortensen's weapon to convert these? Literally the Taliban. I mean, you think Rick Warren is bad. Check out the Taliban someday. What was Greg Mortensen's weapon to convert these people? He built schools for their children, particularly their girls. We pushed the Palestinians on the West Bank to have open and democratic elections, assuming that because they were using the tools of our culture, the secret ballot, they'd vote in people reflecting the values of our culture. Instead, they voted in Hamas, a group openly hostile to us and our friends. Hamas's weapon for winning the hearts and minds of the Palestinians? They supported schools, hospitals, and they fed and clothed people. You'd think that we would have learned from our experiences, particularly progressives, that you get your desired results faster when you embrace, engage, and nurture your enemies rather than physically or rhetorically bombing them. Barack Obama, in my opinion, has learned that lesson and is applying it in inviting Rick Warren to perform the invocation for his inauguration. In doing so, he's reaching out a hand to those who today, out of fear and ignorance, are pushing away gays the same way their intellectual ancestors pushed away African Americans with the anti-miscegenation laws that were supported by many of those same churches in the 50s and 60s. So, you know, just like Joseph Lowery said, this is one America, and the sooner that we learn that, the more effective our world will be. The more effective we will be, you and I, progressives in America, in my humble opinion, at changing the hearts and minds of people like Rick Warren and his followers. Make no mistake about it, we must do this. This is a tremendous first step, and I personally congratulate Barack Obama on his wisdom, walking metaphorically in Greg Mortensen's shoes, to eventually bring the enemies of America's true values of love and tolerance over to our side.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Saving the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. Now, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. Yes, there will be fluctuations in the price of gold, but gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You can call ITM, too, at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but in my humble opinion, the long-term future for the dollar is very uncertain. That's why some nations don't even want U.S. dollars today. That's why I'm buying gold for the long term. So call my friends at ITM Trading and talk to their experts. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Just talk to the experts at ITM Trading. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
She's loud, she's proud, and she definitely draws a crowd.
If he had gotten into politics to steal, he certainly picked the wrong time because we're broke.
Randy Rhodes.
There's nothing left to steal. You know, why are they asking, is he crazy? Just look at his hair. What's on the outside is pretty good indication of what he's thinking on the inside.
The Randy Rhodes Show.
He actually considered appointing himself to the Senate seat because he was afraid that he had sucked every corrupt dollar out of Illinois, so he wanted to go national.
3 to 6 on AM 620 KPOJ.
Hey, Carl Wolfson. This holiday season, give the gift of sight to your loved ones from Eyes on Broadway. Can't stand those old glasses your spouse has been wearing since the 70s? Stop by Eyes on Broadway and get them a gift certificate good for an eye exam, frames, and personalized appointment with an Eyes on Broadway expert frame consultant. Eyes on Broadway offers an extensive selection of men's and women's eyewear from John Varvatos, Oliver Peoples, Paul Smith, and more. Stop in today at 2300 Northeast Broadway or online at eyesonbroadway.com.
Are the monthly payments you're receiving from a structured settlement not enough to keep up with your expenses? Do you need cash now? Well, now you can get the future money owed to you in a lump sum. For free information, call Peachtree Settlement Funding, 1-800-300-7153.
The money I was getting every month from my lawsuit just wasn't enough. Now we have the cash to finally pay off our credit cards.
Find out how you can turn your structured settlement into cash now, when you need it most, to pay off the bills that are piling up now.
Our adjustable rate mortgage payments were out of control. If we hadn't gotten this money, we might have ended up losing our house.
Getting this money was like getting my life back. Now I know I can pay my bills every month.
If you have a structured settlement, get the future money you have coming to you now. For your free information, call Peachtree Settlement Funding at 1-800-300-7153. That's 1-800-300-7153. 1-800-300-7153.
You don't have to wait any longer. With Walmart's unbeatable prices, you can now upgrade to the phenomenal movie-watching experience of Blu-ray. Vizio HD TVs and Sony Blu-ray players have never been more affordable. And Mamma Mia! The Movie, rated PG-13, is coming to Blu-ray and DVD December 16th. So now, you can bring Hollywood's biggest movies home in high definition. Save money, live better, Walmart. We will match the price of any local competitor's print ad for an identical product. See store for details.
The best gift ever.
Brought to you by Radio Shack.
My husband is a sports fanatic, so I was thrilled when a Radio Shack associate told me about Sirius Satellite Radio, which already gets the NFL and NASCAR. Plus, when you add the Best of XM package, the NBA and NHL, too. I knew I'd found the perfect Christmas gift. Now, our car rides will be filled with slam dunks and zambonis, everything that makes the wintertime just so delightful.
Save $30 on the Sirius Stratus 5 Dock and Play Radio. Just $39.99 when you buy a Sirius prepaid card.
Offer good through 12/24/08.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Nobody knows where the rivers flow, and I call it home, and there's no more lies in the dark, best of life, and nobody cries, there's a river to flow. Take me away.
21 minutes past the hour here on the Tom Hartman program, brought to you in part by the Teamsters, proud supporters of the Employee Free Choice Act, and boy, is that going to be a battle. We need all hands on board for that. I'm telling you, this thing is coming up, and it's going to be big. You can find out more about it over at Teamster.org, singular, Teamster.org, for the Teamsters Union, information about the Employee Free Choice Act. So my take on the Rick Warren thing, and I'll just make this very clear and succinct, because I also want to talk about some news that just came out about what the White House is doing with regard to busting the unions in Detroit and the industrial Midwest. But the bottom line with the whole Rick Warren thing, is that what George W. Bush did and the politics of Republicans over the years has been to divide us and push and pit us one against the other and demonize those who are not on their side. Bush is famous. You're either with us or you're with the terrorists. You're either with us or you're against us. It's the politics of fear and division and hate. And what Barack Obama campaigned on was the politics of bringing people together. The politics of unity, the politics of making us one nation. There's not a right or a left America. There's not a red or a blue America. There's not a Democratic or Republican America. There's one. There's not a black or a white America. There's one America. And I think that this is far more than symbolic. Rick Warren has literally tens of millions of people who hold him in very high regard. And wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if by his giving the invocation, millions of those people pay more careful attention, or maybe even would watch it on TV when they wouldn't otherwise watch the inauguration of Barack Obama. Because that inaugural speech is going to be the big kickoff speech. To this day, the speech of John Kennedy that is most commonly quoted is his inaugural speech. And it may well be the same with Barack Obama's inauguration. And this is going to be the speech of his lifetime. And we want as many people as possible to watch it to try to open their hearts, to try to bring them to our side, to try and crack open that door, to give them that third cup of tea, to use Greg Mortensen's metaphor from his brilliant book, Three Cups of Tea. So that's why I think this was a strategically and politically brilliant move on the part of Barack Obama and his team and his campaign and his, a team, I guess. Rather than a blunder. And I don't view it as a statement of weakness. See, if you think of this as a statement of weakness, you are buying into the George Bush worldview, which is that if you have your enemies at the table, you're weak. And I would submit to you that the most powerful people are the ones who have their enemies at the table. The weak people are the ones who are afraid to have their enemies around, who don't want their enemies to speak up, who try to freeze their enemies out. That kind of pathetic, angry, childish weakness is characteristic of the Bush administration, and frankly of the Republican Party for at least the last 30 years since Reagan came in. And I'm so pleased to see an administration that has the strength, the moral strength, the intellectual strength, the political strength to reach out and say, no, we're not going to play those games. Now, on the financial side, or on the economic side, this just hit the wire service 20, 30 minutes ago. The White House, from the Associated Press, the White House says a managed bankruptcy for automakers is one option being considered to help save the troubled industry. It looks like one more time we've been bait and switched by the Bushies.
You know, they say, oh, don't worry, you know, if the Republicans vote this down, this is just good people exercising their moral conscience. And, you know, the people from the plantation mentality states, they're just, quack, quack, quack. And, but don't worry, because we got this TARP fund and we'll take care of it. And everybody breathed a sigh of relief. Little did we know how toxic, how destructive, how ultimately, well, you know, bottom line, anti-worker, anti-middle class, the Bush administration was. I mean, you know, we all knew. But, I mean, even I was thinking, yeah, hey, wow, maybe the Bush administration will do the right thing for a change. Man, was I a sucker, huh? The Bush administration do the right thing? You have to understand, these guys, the fellows in the Bush administration, the men and women in the Bush administration, and George Bush himself, it's not, you know, that I don't want to say they hate America. I believe that they love this country and they want what's best for it, but what they think is best for it is something that is antithetical to American values, traditional American values. They want there to be a small ruling elite. They're basically followers of John Calvin. They're basically Calvinists. They basically believe, as Calvin suggested, that you have to have a small ruling elite, and that a ruling elite needs to be made up of those people anointed by God as the ones who are the good people, because good people are so few and far between, because most people are born evil, don't you know, because Eve ate that apple, therefore we have to oppress women. And the way that you find out who the good people are, the ones that God has blessed, is that the evidence of God's blessing is the fact that they're rich. And so let's put them in charge. And when the poor people and the working people start to get a little bit of wealth, that is a bad thing for this country in the minds of George W. Bush and his buddies, the Sean Hannitys of the world, the Rush Limbaughs, the multimillionaire bloviators of the world. That's a bad thing in their minds because it produces social instability, to quote Alan Greenspan. Greenspan, who famously told the Wall Street Journal his job as head of the Fed was to maintain a certain minimum necessary level of worker insecurity. Well, you got it now.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Annoy Hannity. Listen to Hartman. Tom Hartman, nationwide. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Chipmunks roasting on an open fire. Hot sauce dripping from their toes.
Hot sauce dripping from their toes?
Yuletide squirrels, fresh filleted by the choir. They poked hot skewers through their nose. Everybody knows some pepper and a garlic clove help to make them seasoned right. Tiny rats with a crisp golden coat will really hit the spot tonight. And now when Santa sees his train, there'll be some homemade chipmunk jerky for his sleigh. And every hungry child is gonna spy.
No.
And so I'm brushing on some honey glaze.
Oh, Louise, I can't.
Keep them crisp.
I actually love this bumper. It's totally bizarre. It's an animal rights activist and a vegetarian. I love this bumper. I guess because I love Johnny Mathis's song, and it's such a great pastiche. Anyhow, welcome back. 35 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here. Talk radio for the sane among us. The Rick Warren topic. The right is every bit as angry as some on the left. This is I find particularly interesting. The Brody File freaking out about this. One of the right wing websites. They're just inundated with angry email from people on the right saying, how dare that Rick Warren consort with Barack Obama? How dare he? See, this is an important moment, and I think it's a good one. I think this is a good one. 866-303-2270, your telephone number. Mike in Portland. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Hey, John, Tom. Hey, I wanted to speak in support of everything you're saying about Rick Warren. And our church went through his 40 Days of Purpose book, which involves seeing him on videotape. And this guy is a guy with an open mind and a guy who is compassionate.
Well,
and
maybe. If there's anybody who can be changed on issues like gay marriage, it's Rick Warren.
Exactly.
I think it's a good starting point. He's not one of the bomb throwers.
Right. And the fact that the right and left are equally angry about this, I think, is a good indication that he has a chance to not be a divider.
Yeah. Yeah. This
I think.
Go ahead.
And I'm going to be paying attention to everything he says, because what he says there will make all the difference in the world. And he has an opportunity here to bring a lot of people together.
Both of the he's, both Rick Warren and Barack Obama. It'll be interesting to see how this shakes out. Mike, thanks very much for the call. Rich in Birmingham, Alabama. Hey, Rich.
Hi, Tom. I couldn't agree with you more. You know, one of the things that turns me off about fundamentalists is the tactic sometimes they use when they're trying to persuade you to their point of view. And as a progressive, it's easy to be baited into retaliating using those same counterproductive tactics. And what you have to keep in mind is we have to follow the Gandhi model, the Thoreau and Martin Luther King model, and realize that, you know, we're not trying to beat these people. We just want to persuade them. And you do that through rational, respectful dialogue.
Right.
You don't do it by attacking. And it's easy. It's the greater strength. You have to reach higher. You have to be stronger. It's easy to retaliate. To be peaceful is the stronger, more difficult path, but it's the most successful one.
As Mahatma Gandhi, as Jesus, as Martin Luther King all taught us. Yeah, very well said, Rich. Thank you very much. And This is such an important thing, and I think that you're absolutely right that just you know, saying we're not going to have mine because we disagree with him or we don't like what he said. No. This is the Greg Mortons, and this is the three cups of tea. I think this is a great thing. Reinhardt in Port Orchard, Washington. Hey, Reinhardt.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Fine. Thank you.
Is it snowing down in Portland as bad as it's snowing in Seattle?
No, I haven't looked outside in the last 3 hours, but this morning wasn't so bad. Yesterday we had an inch of snow here, and the day before that. So
well,
what's
it's
up?
Definitely white. It's white up here.
Ah,
I just wanted to call and tell you that I'm so happy to hear the positive your positive opinion about Rick Warren, because I've been listening to Air America for a couple hours, and it seems that most of the opinion is real negative. And I think
I have a broadly negative opinion of Rick Warren himself, but I, you know, not broadly, yeah, somewhat, you know, but I think that he's the least toxic of the very toxic and the most persuadable, and many of his followers are as well. Many of his followers are the people who have not become the bomb throwers either. They're the ones who are simply in it for the religion part of it. And I think that this could be a bridge moment that could bring literally tens of millions of people into a more progressive worldview.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as a gay man, I am concerned about gay rights and everything, but I voted for Barack Obama because I feel like this country needs to be healed. And you know, we've had an administration that hasn't reached out to our side, and I think that this just shows that Barack Obama is living up to his campaign promise of change and a new type of government. And that, to me, is more important. And I know that he's still an advocate for my rights, but that's not so much my concern. You know, it shows that he can reach across the aisle, and I think that's really bold and brilliant, to be honest.
Yeah. Thank you, Reinhardt. Thanks for the call. Frank in San Francisco, your thoughts on this, Frank?
I totally disagree with you and all the callers that just I listened to. I think this is equivalent to me as a gay man of having someone from the KKK speak at the inauguration. Inauguration is not a platform for the religious right. The inauguration is about being inclusive. And for Barack Obama to throw the gay community under the bus to, I don't know what you think is it's going to accomplish. It's not going to convert one gay person. You're making the argument this person has sold a lot of books. So is Rush Limbaugh. Why don't we have him speak at the inauguration? I think you have pie-in-the-sky ideas if you think that having a bigot who compared homosexuality to bestiality, pedophilia, speak at the inauguration, and more people are going to tune in. Well, I got to tell you, most gay people will tune out. And we're tired of being thrown under the bus and even being used as a bargaining chip for the right wing. You're obviously not a gay person. This does not affect you personally.
No, I'm not, but
you
I
know,
have gay members of my family.
This is equivalent to having a bigot speak at the, a racist speak at the inauguration.
And Martin Luther King reached out to racists, Frank.
I'm sorry?
And Martin Luther King reached out to racists. He went to
this
where the racists were.
This is the inauguration. Barack Obama wants to have a consortium of religious leaders speak at another time and talk about this. That's fine. But this is inauguration.
Okay. Well, I get, you know, I understand your point.
And you're talking about how this is a bold, brilliant move is really disappointing. And I don't know how you can say call yourself a progressive when you're having someone who's a, who's speaking about someone's human rights. A group of people who have been beaten down, Proposition 8, who have been used by the Republicans as a wedge issue, is disgusting. This is the inauguration we're talking about. It's supposed to be inclusive.
Okay. Frank, your point is very well made, and I absolutely understand it and respectfully disagree. But I don't disagree at all with your characterization of Warren as a bigot, particularly in his positions on Prop 8, and you know my positions on that. But I really do think that this is an opportunity to reach out to the tens of millions of people who hang out with Rick Warren. And we'll see. Wendy in Orange County, California, listening to K-Talk. Your thoughts.
Hi, Tom. I'm a progressive Democrat and a recovering Mormon originally from Salt Lake. I've lived in very red Orange County for the last 15 years, and I think Obama's choice of Rick Warren is brilliant. I really do. Because Rick Warren, for an evangelical preacher, is very moderating compared to all of the other evangelical preachers out there. And he's actually angered a lot of people on the far right because he does reach out to liberals. He invites Obama and other people to speak at his church. And he says over and over again that just because we don't agree on everything doesn't mean we can't work together on the issues that we do agree on, such as poverty and AIDS. And I think it's really going to be a force to pull in the movement that keeps going further and further to the right.
He represents a church that 40 years ago, not his particular literal physical church, but a wing of that wing of Protestant Christianity, that 40 years ago was arguing that interracial marriage was a sin.
Yeah.
And is now arguing that gay marriage is a sin. And frankly, I think if we reach out to them the way that Martin Luther King reached out to them 40 years ago, I think a few years, I don't think it's going to take 40 years. It might take a decade, perhaps not. But, you know, we don't need all of them. But it wouldn't be nice to pick off a few million of his followers and have them, you know, come over to our side. Wendy, thank you very much for the call. Nancy in St. Louis. Hey, Nancy.
Hey, Tom, I'd be really interested to know that everybody who thinks that this pick is brilliant, are they gay? I bet you they are not.
Well, at least
because
one of our callers American, who thought it was brilliant said he was. And my co-host on the morning show, Carl Wolfson, who's an openly gay man and does the morning show here on KPOJ in Portland, is strongly of the opinion that it's a good idea. So,
okay,
you know, I would say that there are people, gay people and straight people, who are taking both positions on this.
Well, I would say that that's two gay people then out of...
Well, neither community is monolithic, Nancy. Come on.
No, but listen, it is a slap in the face, and I will say this. If Obama actually does something of substance, like does name Mary Beth Maxwell as Secretary of Labor, then that will mean something to our community. That will actually mean something. I think it is a slap in the face to the gay community, And so let's see him do something of substance. I noticed he has not named a labor secretary yet.
You're right, Nancy, and I hope he does too. I would love to see, and frankly, I think we will see that. And thank you very much for the call. We got to take a break here. 45 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman with you. 866-303-2270.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Truth is his weapon. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. Now, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. Yes, there will be fluctuations in the price of gold, but gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history.
That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You can call ITM, too, at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but in my humble opinion, the long-term future for the dollar is very uncertain. That's why some nations don't even want U.S. dollars today. That's why I'm buying gold for the long term. So call my friends at ITM Trading and talk to their experts. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Just talk to the experts at ITM Trading. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
Taking the complicated and making it sound simple.
This is a change in the definition of what America is.
Rachel Maddow.
We've long had a very, 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 very diverse country. We just have been very resistant to the idea that our government ought to look as diverse as our country. That has now changed. But it is also a big day for the Democratic Party. And it is a very big day for the Republican Party.
Rachel Maddow.
Which now has no obvious leader, no clear direction.
Evening, 6 to 8.
No clear guiding ideology, either economically or in terms of foreign policy.
On AM 620 KVOJ.
Life is made up of little moments. I don't want to miss any of them.
Jump rope with me, Grandma?
Yes, Advil. It's the answer I found to keep pain from standing in my way. Yes, Advil. I used to take different pain relievers for joint pain, backaches, muscle pain. Now Advil is my every pain reliever, no matter where I hurt. Nothing works better. Nothing works on more pain.
Double Dutch?
Yes, Advil. My every pain reliever.
Among OTC pain relievers, use as directed.
If you've got a repair project for your home and don't know whom to trust, try Angie's List. Dave did, and here's his story.
Well, recently I had some projects around the house, and I wanted to find contractors with good references. So I went to Angie's List and searched for window washers, painters, plumbers, and locksmiths. I read all the reviews that other Angie's List members wrote about each contractor, what these people had paid for their project, what they liked or didn't like. The reviews were so helpful. Then I called the ones that looked good, got estimates, and chose the ones who did the best job for the lowest price. This was so much better than just randomly going through the phone book.
With over 20,000 member reports submitted monthly, you'll find plumbers, roofers, painters, even doctors who are right for you. Companies don't pay to be on Angie's List, and all reports are reviewed for accuracy. Try it today using this special radio offer. Just go to AngiesList.com and type in the promo code radio when you sign up. That's AngiesList.com and the promo code radio.
Here's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ.
Don't miss the 13th annual S. Schwab Invitational presented by Fred Meyer December 26th through 30th at Liberty High School in Hillsboro. Featuring 16 teams from Oregon, Washington, California, and New York, the 2008 Les Schwab Invitational includes 4 days of tournament play as well as slam dunk and three-point shootout contest. Get your tickets online now through December 22nd at primetimepdx.com.
And that's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's progressive talk station.
Are you an embarrassment on the dance floor? Do you confuse state capitals and read too many celebrity gossip magazines? Well, if you answered yes, you may have what it takes to adopt a teen from foster care, because teens don't need perfection, they need you. So if you think an MP3 is a computer virus, it's okay. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. For more information, call 1-888-200-4005 or go to AdoptUsKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the White House, not a creature is stirring. Well, except for my spouse. I think she's still watching that W movie. Yes, my term's nearly done with, but I got one last goal, to fill the national stocking with a big lump of coal. And I'm not talking about clean coal. That's just hot BS. So while children are dreaming of toys, dolls, and ponies, I'm out here scheming how to help out my cronies. Yes, to all my pals in the big corporations, here's my gift to you. Some new regulations. Let's start with a good one. A new Christmas tradition to let power plants increase their emissions. I know what you're saying. Oh, the parks and the grass. I tell you what, Robert Redford, kiss my white ass. Let's lift some protections for endangered species. The earth is not warming. That's a big load of feces. Family Leave Act? That sounds like a perk. Just pop out the kid and get back to work. Medicaid's one that could use new restrictions. Why do poor people need to get new prescriptions? So I slash that one to pieces and add a health warning. Take two of these and call me in the morning. Now, I can't play alone in this holiday game. I need me some reindeer, and I'll call them by name. Now Bitter, now Riker, now Terry, and Dreyer. Come get the campaign support you require. On Bachman, on Wolf, on Diaz Balart. And throw in Voinovich, he'll do his part. Let's help all the brokers and jack up their wealth. Let's cut family planning and slash women's health. Jobs for our elders? They're gone in a blink. Let's dump lots of crap in the water we drink. I've signed the last one, and my job is complete. And guess what? You're keeping these gifts. Because I got the receipt. So I'll put down my pen, and I'll turn out
so,
the light.
So there we go. George W. Bush giving the old mooning to America on his way out of office. The person who put this thing together that you just heard, Robert Greenwald. With Brave New Films, bravenewfilms.org, the website, the new film, Twas the Midnight Before Regulations, you just heard a good chunk of, and Robert Greenwald on the line, the film producer, the director, the activist, the artiste extraordinaire. Robert, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be with you.
Thank you, Robert. Tell us about what Bush is doing here that you are highlighting in this this very funny piece.
Well, what Bush is doing is he's putting through a series of regulations, which are sad to say, or deregulations, which are sad to say are legal. And they're really mind-boggling, Tom. You and some of your listeners may be aware of them. But as Brave New Films, as we started talking about them and analyzing them, I mean, seeing things literally that he was going to be doing, like increasing pollution from power plants, limiting seniors' federal work programs, limiting temporary aid for needy families, reducing access to the Family Medical Leave Act, and then, you know, one of my favorites, financial advisors allowed to provide investment advice regardless of conflict of interest. I mean, can you imagine, right?
Right after we just saw the fruit of 20 years of that.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen the results of it. So it's quite extraordinary, and needless to say that we were very troubled and angered by it. But we decided to use, first of all, satire as a way to get the word out, because people almost don't believe it. And we were fortunate to have this piece you heard written by Adam Peltzman, who's, you know, incredibly gifted at making the horrors rhyme, number one. And then number two, because just being angry isn't enough, there's nothing we can do electorally about Bush, but we did connect it.
Well, actually, we already have.
Yes, right. Amen.
Yeah.
So we won't have him to kick around electorally, but what we did was, because, again, at Brave New Films, we always analyze it strategically, the, quote, reindeer at the end are a series of Republicans who were putting in the headlights with this and essentially saying, why aren't they speaking out? Because on these individual issues, they're going to take a lot of grief from their constituents. And in less than 24 hours, over 100,000 people have already seen it and started passing it around.
That's great. And of course, it's on YouTube, I'm assuming.
Yes. And if you go to bravenewfilms.org, you can see it, and it's right there.
Yeah, and along with a lot of great other content. And Robert, is just superb work you're doing, and I want to honor and congratulate you on this another brilliantly executed piece. And please keep up the great work.
Well, thank you, and thank you for the shout-out to all of you and all of the wonderful listeners as we look forward to a much, much, much better year ahead.
Amen. To quote you, Robert Greenwald, bravenewfilms.org, the website. Thanks, Robert.
Okay.
Thanks for dropping by today. Good talking with you. It is 55 minutes past the hour. Nancy in Minneapolis. Hey, Nancy, what's on your mind today?
I think that having Rick Warren at the beginning is symbolic. To me, it's like saying, this is where we are. And then having Reverend Joe Lowry at the end as a benediction is saying, this is where we're going. So, and it's brilliant. I mean, Reverend Lowry is fearless. I mean,
yes.
He is brilliant. Yes. And that's where we got to go. So I think it's symbolic.
That's very interesting. The arc of the day will be like that. I hadn't considered that. Nancy, thank you very much for sharing that. That's a very, very thoughtful and insightful perspective. Maurice in Atlanta, Georgia. Hey, Maurice.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
Good.
Well, I think that it will be determined that it is a shrewd political move only if it is leveraged into something else, like the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. But now, I don't think you can make a determination as to whether it's a good or bad thing politically. Now, symbolically, you know, people will be able to discuss that amongst themselves. But I think that Obama is probably one of the shrewdest political operatives that we've seen ever. But only time will tell if this is a situation in which you determine that.
I agree. And I'm taking him on his word. You know, he had a press conference about this morning, and he said, you know, that he was one of the strongest advocates for gay rights, although, you know, that's a little bit disingenuous because he's not in favor of gay marriage. But frankly, I think probably he'll be coming around to that position, too, now that he's elected. But in any case, he said that he's a strong advocate for gay rights and that he doesn't view this and didn't intend it to be, you know, a slap in the face of the gay community. Although, you know, I understand why many people would be very, very angry with this or upset with it. I personally believe, and thank you, Maurice, for the call and for your comments, that we need to be bringing it's not about Rick Warren. It's about the 10, 20, 30, maybe even 40 million people who look up to Rick Warren, who are at the moment not sure about Barack Obama. And Rick Warren will be essentially endorsing Barack Obama. That's going to be a great thing, I think. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the second hour of our program. Tom Hartman here with you. I want to shift gears a little bit. In fact, I'm going to ask Marcus to let our callers who still want to weigh in on Rick Warren know that we can come back to that topic probably in our third hour. But this is the holiday season right now, and it's a really tough time for a lot of people in the United States. I mean, just a genuinely tough time for many people. And in part because it's the holiday season, in part because our country is rapidly sliding into a depression, in part because, you know, many people are just experiencing tough times. The Burlington County Times article headline, homeless mother dreads holidays. Single mother and her 7-year-old daughter are homeless this Christmas season. She and her daughter have been moving from place to place with no stable home to call their own. Although she works two jobs, there's no money left over to buy her daughter a Christmas present. Another one, economy contributes to holiday blues. This in the Columbus, Ohio newspaper. There's no question the holidays are fun and exciting, but while some at this time of year want to spend time with family and friends, others find themselves in the case of the holiday blues, and the economic situation isn't making things any better. In my own life, I'm seeing this. I got an email from an old friend a couple of days ago that was essentially a suicide note. I mean, I'm not, in fact, he used that word in it. I have a friend in San Rafael who's very, very ill right now. I visited my family back in Michigan a couple days ago. We saw my mom. I'll be amazed if she makes it through till next Christmas. I mean, this is a difficult time for many people's families for reasons of health, for reasons of – but then you lay the holidays on top of it, and it gets even more complex. And so my favorite house guest is with us, Dr. Louis Melmadrona. He is the newly appointed director of psychopharmacology and associate professor of psychology for Argosy University in Honolulu, Hawaii. just moving there. Lewis was previously working in Canada as a professor of psychiatry and a psychiatrist. Used to work down in Arizona with Dr. Andrew Weil with the program on integrative medicine there at the University of Arizona Medical School. You've been an emergency room physician. You have a PhD in psychology and MD, so you're a psychiatrist as well. And the author of numerous books, including Narrative Medicine, the upcoming Narrative Psychiatry, Coyote Medicine, Coyote Healing, Coyote Wisdom, a Native American person who has transcended and bridged those two worlds of Native American medicine, traditional medicine, and Western medicine. Dr. Lewis Melmadrona, welcome to the studio, Lewis.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you here, and it's always great to have you here. You pass through here a couple times a year, and I'm always pleased to have you in our guest room.
Yeah, it's great.
Hang out with you in the evening, and it's always great to put you on the radio because you have so many brilliant insights into these things. What are the first of all? What are your thoughts on, you know, as a psychiatrist and a professor in these areas? What are your thoughts on pharmacology and versus things like support groups, for example? I mean, what, you know, people are experiencing deep depression during the holidays, or they're having a really tough time with it. What first thoughts on this?
You know, for the most part, I think that antidepressants don't work that quickly, if they work at all, except for bipolar depression, which if you had that, you'd know it because it would have been going on for a really long time.
For most of your life.
For most of your life. And so I think what works quickly are friends. What works quickly is exercise. And, you know, I think friends will get you through times of no money much better than money will get you through times of no friends.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what I tell people is call everyone you know and invite them to a meeting. Get them to come to your house. If you don't have a house, go to their house.
Mm-hmm.
And get people together to talk about how to help each other feel better during these depressing times.
We were talking last night about healing circles, the Lakota tradition, the Native American tradition.
Right. In Lakota, it's called a Ho-Choka, and everyone has one. Everyone belongs to a group of people who look after each other.
Now, this is literally so much a part of, interwoven into culture, much like in Western culture, everybody has a doctor sort of thing. This is just a given that you have a
healing circle. Just a given. And usually in traditional society, every Ho-Choka has an elder who looks after the people too and helps them to, you know, talks to them about their problems, helps them to change stories, does ceremony for them.
Yeah. And I'd like to invite our callers, by the way, 866-303-2270. If you have a story about how you have dealt with holiday depression, I'd love to hear those stories. We'd love to hear those stories. If you have questions for Dr. Lewis Melmadrona, feel free, 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Lewis, the Native American tradition of having this Ho-Choka, the healing circle, I don't know of any parallels in American life. And in fact, if anything, it seems like it's, you know, the modern hospital, the modern psychiatrist's office is the antithesis of this.
Right, and that's what we have to change. The only parallels that I've found are prayer circles or healing circles and Quaker meetings.
Huh.
And my goal is that everybody has a healing circle because you need people. And really, when you think about it, what's the most anti-capitalist thing you can do is to reach out to other people because then you're not going to be consuming all these pharmacological substances,
right.
and you're going to be helping each other, which is really the populist thing to do.
Healing yourself and healing your community.
Right.
We were talking last night, this is a conversation that you and I have had many times over the years, about the fascinating studies on placebos versus antidepressants, whether it's the old benzo drugs or the newer SSRI, the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. And in fact, going back 30 years, the studies on placebos versus morphine for pain.
Right.
And they found 30 years ago that when the doctor believed that the placebo, the sugar pill that they were giving the patient, when the doctor believed it was a new and improved painkiller more effective than morphine, about half the time, the patients said that it was stronger than morphine in knocking out their pain.
Right. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And with the antidepressants, what's the result of the new studies on antidepressants versus placebos?
Big study, University of Ottawa. They used the Freedom of Information Act to get every study that had ever been done, and not just the ones that the drug companies published.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out no difference between placebo and antidepressant for depression. However, placebo was really powerful. Half the people got well on placebo. And what that shows is the power of the mind. Yeah. If you believe in it, it works.
So, you know, and there's kind of a two-edged sword here. If you believe in your healing circle, it will heal you. If you believe in your prayer, it will heal you. If you believe in your homeopathic medication or your placebo, your sugar
pill,
it will heal you.
You're 50% the way there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so by you and I talking about this and saying to people, hey, find something you believe in, it will heal you, in a way, we're sort of setting up that not happening because we're pulling back the curtain and showing people how the brain works. But isn't it real also that even with that intellectual knowledge, most people have at some gut level something that they believe in that will heal them?
Absolutely. And if you don't have it, then find a friend who believes in you, and that'll work too.
Really? How?
Well, you know, I'm calling it the Pygmalion effect from the play of the same name.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out that if enough people around you believe in you, you'll change. And I've even done therapy this way where the patient doesn't even come in, and 20 of their friends keep coming every month, and they change.
That's amazing. Now, you made a comment last night when we were talking. You said, in this context, and you said, and therefore, if you believe in Prozac, you should take Prozac.
Absolutely. If that's what you believe in, I'll write you the prescription. Of course,
right.
I have to see you face-to-face to do that.
Yeah, but you're...
Go get it.
But this is not an anti-medication screed.
No.
What we're talking about here is just, you know, the reality of the modern studies on what actually works and what doesn't work. Religion works, pills work, healing circles work, psychotherapy
exercise
works. Exercise works when you believe it. Now, does exercise work if you don't believe in it?
You probably won't do it if you don't believe in it, but yes, if you'll do exercise, even if you don't believe in it, it'll work.
So that's the one exception, perhaps.
That's one exception. That's right.
That is remarkable. We're talking with Dr. Louis Malmadrona, MD, PhD, professor of psychopharmacology and associate professor of psychology at Argosy University in Honolulu, Hawaii, and the author of a whole string of books. Many of you are probably familiar with Louis's work. He's a real rock star in the field of alternative medicine. His books, Coyote Medicine, Coyote Healing, Coyote Wisdom, Narrative Medicine, and he has a book coming out July of next year called Narrative Psychiatry, and you know, getting into the broadly these whole topics of this whole topic of how do we heal? How do we heal, and where does healing come from? Louis, we've got to take a break right now, and I want to come back on the other side of it with our callers, and so Stephanie's going to fire off the music right this second, and we will come right back, because we've got a bunch of people with questions and thoughts on this topic that I'd like to bounce off of you. So your calls for Dr. Louis Malmadrona, 866-303-2270. If you want to drop into our live chat room, tomhartman.com, we'll get you there. Our live video stream is over at airamerica.com. It is 16 minutes past the hour, right here on the Tom Hartman Program, taking back the mainstream media 3 hours a day, 5 days a week.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Blindingly logical. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
This is Vivionik Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug, the phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartman Show absolutely without question. Whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
You know, the ones, fives, tens, twenties, fifties, and hundreds, that money is backed by what is called the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, the Federal Reserve.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I don't know about you, but I have no faith in this government. And as far as its credit rating, if the U.S. government were rated by one of these rating companies,
what would it be? Zero worth? It's Mike Malloy.
I mean, how do you rate a nation that's $12 trillion in debt?
Evening, 8 to 11. AM 620 KPOJ. 620KPOJ.com.
Brenda and I have been married 38 years this month.
I knew he was the one the first time I laid eyes on him.
At our age, we needed a health plan that expands our Medicare coverage, one that's flexible, personalized, and affordable.
That's why we chose a My Advantage plan from Atrio.
This is Dr. John Weston, one of the many doctors, specialists, and hospitals behind Atrio. We created Atrio to give you more benefits and coverage, access to more doctors and hospitals in our area, and coverage when you travel. And plans with no monthly premiums and copays as low as $10. So call Atrio and have them design a My Advantage plan just for you.
We knew Atrio was the one the first time we talked to him.
Atrio Health Plans is a coordinated care plan with a Medicare Advantage contract, expanding health coverage for residents in Washington County. To find the My Advantage plan for you, call toll-free 1-877-672-8686. That's 1-877-672-8686. Or go to atriohp.com. Affordable, comprehensive, reliable. That's Atrio.
Still looking for the perfect holiday gift? Get smarter with Office Depot and give the gifts they really want, like the TomTom 1-130 portable GPS for only $149.99, or the Sony CyberShot W120 digital camera for only $129.99. Plus, find smart deals on laptops, printers, HD TVs, and more. Office Depot is the smart choice this holiday season for the hottest technology and the coolest gifts at great prices. Office Depot, taking care of business. Offers expire 12/20/08.
At Ace Hardware, this holiday season is extra special. For the second straight year, Ace is ranked highest in customer satisfaction among home improvement stores by J.D. Power and Associates. Giving expert help and friendly advice to our customers is what we do all year long. But being recognized for it 2 years in a row? Well, that's just about the best present we could ask for. Ace, the holiday helpful place. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, visit jdpower.com.
Hi, I'm Cheryl Crow, cancer survivor. If you want to know where the leading cancer research is being done, check out City of Hope Cancer Center. New drugs, new treatments that are saving lives everywhere. For information, go to CherylCrowForHope.org.
Music Millennium has over 100,000 gift ideas, including the largest recorded music selection in the Northwest, music and movie DVDs, vinyl, vintage toys and games, and other unique gift ideas. Happy holidays from Music Millennium, located at 32nd and East Burnside.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
News without conflicts of global corporate interest. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman radio program. 866-303-2270. Dr. Louis Melmadrona, M-E-H-L-M-A-D-R-O-N-A, for those of you with the Google machine. Louis, what's your website, by the way?
It's www.melmadrona.com with a hyphen.
With a hyphen.
With the hyphen.
Okay, great. And author of Narrative Medicine, the upcoming Narrative Psychiatry, Coyote Medicine, Coyote Healing, Coyote Wisdom, and 866-303-2270, your telephone number. And Jeannie in Ithaca, New York. You're on the air with Dr. with Louis and me.
Hello.
Hi.
My interest in this is, how much do you believe nutrition? For me, I know when I changed my diet to have more.
Jeannie, I'm sorry, your phone is just breaking up horribly, but it sounded to me like you said that you believe in nutrition, and when you changed your diet, your health got better. Louis, is nutrition, I would think nutrition is also one of those things that it doesn't matter whether you believe in it or not.
Right, nutrition, like exercise. It's like exercise. It's terribly important. And, you know, the sad thing is when people feel down, they eat lots of sugar and caffeine, which is the worst thing they can do, and they don't eat enough protein.
Right.
So during the holidays, it's really important to...
So protein, fresh fruits, veggies, nuts, seeds, berries, right. and if you're into it, you know, meat or chicken or fish or whatever, but...
Exactly.
You know,
and vitamins don't hurt. You know, there's some good... We just recently presented a paper that showed that vitamins in high doses were as effective as Risperdal in helping autistic kids.
Whoa. Risperdal is a very powerful antipsychotic used for, yeah.
Right. And
which vitamins in high dose were
effective? It was a multiple high-potency formula. It was made by True Hope in Alberta in Power Plus.
So this was a study that you did in Canada?
Right, right.
When you were working up there. Mm-hmm. Linda in Missoula, Montana. You're on the air, Linda.
Hi, great. Boy, I just have so many reflections happening. These are wonderful topics today. You mentioned earlier a parallel, an American parallel to a Native American parallel or healing circle. And part of the healing process that I really see, I live in Montana and I'm Native American, is evolving the human psyche to understand and include Native Americans. You asked for an American parallel. Well, we all are Native Americans, those of us who've been here for many generations, those who have immigrated here. And that process of evolving social consciousness, the power of the mind, what happens on the individual also is happening in the collective. And I see so much today to talk about in healing. Our bodies, our depressions, our issues of things we do with on an individual level are all so important because we're all each one cell in this collective existence, and the healthier each of us becomes, the healthier the whole nation becomes. And in response also to the tensions of that were coming up earlier for Obama's a recent appointment of the inaugural address speaker, is that there's so much healing that needs to be done, in that those of us who are not in pain can offer and extend a hand, like the friend that you were talking about, to bring into your healing circle. And those of us who are in pain need to just surrender to that pain and feel it and let it go and get it out of our bodies and then accept the help and accept the voices and not hold on to the hate, because the hate is such a damaging to each of us. And and we can't often, when hate comes
toxic.
At us, it's a natural tendency to throw hate out again.
Yeah. And Linda very well said. Let's get Lewis's thoughts on this. Linda's comments?
Yeah, those are great, Linda. And I think that, you know, those of us that are indigenous, like you and me, you know, we can teach people that aren't indigenous how to do talking circles, which is a wonderful way to learn how to listen to other people. And I'll bet that you've been involved in some of those in Montana.
Yeah, and she's off the line now, but she probably has. Rob in Iron Mountain, Minnesota. Hey, Rob, you're on the air.
Are you telling me, lady with a Lewis name? I'm sorry. Hi, Tom. That America will be better just when Barack Obama finally comes into office, because he has such an optimistic attitude, just like Tom, just like you, and America will be better, you know, compared to this guy that's in office now that wants to tear us apart.
Right. So the question, is optimism in and of itself a healing thing, Lewis?
I think it is. You know, it's a lot more fun to see the glass as half full than half empty.
But is it actually, it might be a lot more fun, but is it actually more useful?
Well, it sure does boost your immune system.
It does, measurably.
Yes, measurably, right.
White blood cells, I mean, how?
White blood cells, yeah, they make more of the genes that cause them to be able to effectively kill cancer cells and invading bacteria. Wonderful studies from Harvard University about what happens to students when they watch comedies, you know, versus when they watch tragedies.
This is the Norman Cousins thing.
Right,
you know, where
Norman
he healed
Cousins,
himself.
Yes.
I remember back years ago when Rob Call used to do his annual brain conference. You and I have both been at, I spoke at it for like 7 years in a row, I think, the neurology conference in Palm Springs. And one of the speakers there once made the comment that if you simply force your lip muscles up on the edges, in other words, if you force a smile on your face, you can measurably increase serotonin levels in the bloodstream within 30
seconds.
Right,
and we know how that happens now. It's because of mirror neurons, that when you watch somebody else smile or when you smile, it actually activates those parts of your brain that are correlated with smiling, and you start to feel better.
So the old advice from the 18th century, I forget who it was, it wasn't Camus, but anyhow, stand up, take a deep breath, put a smile on your face, right. and you'll feel better. It actually works.
It actually works. It has a neurophysiological basis.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Yeehaw is not a foreign policy. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
I want to thank you for the love that you give me and the song that you put in my sky. You don't know how much you lifted me up, but I feel so alive.
Being thankful, a powerful healing tool as well. Welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Dr. Louis Melmadrona, MEHL-MADRONA.com is his website. And the Director of Psychopharmacology, Associate Professor of Psychology at Argosy University, an MD, a PhD in psychology, psychiatrist, author of Narrative Medicine, Coyote Healing, Coyote Wisdom, Native American physician, the upcoming Narrative Psychiatry, and my old friend and current house guest.
Right.
So great to have you with us, Louis. And we have so many calls here. I want to get right to this, but first, just real quickly, I believe in the healing power of prayer, and so I would like to ask my listeners, particularly those who've read my book, The Prophet's Way, which is mostly about Gottfried Mueller, who was my spiritual mentor and the fellow who started the international Salem organizations, saleminternational.org and salemchildrensvillage.org, which is the organization up in New Hampshire that Louise and I started in 78. He was the founder of that whole thing, and he is quite ill right now. He's in his early 90s, and so I ask people to keep him and his wife and his family in their prayers. And asking for help like that and being grateful, I'm forgetting the German mystic's name, but he said, if the only prayer you ever say is thank you, that is adequate.
That was Meister Eckhart.
Meister Eckhart, yes,
right.
It was. Yeah,
right.
Exactly, and one of my favorite, So the power of thankfulness and the power of asking for help.
Right, and if the studies are overwhelming, if prayer were a drug, we would be sued for not prescribing it.
Seriously.
Absolutely. David Larson, who's now passed on, put together a 5-volume series on all the research that's been done on prayer and spirituality. 83% positive studies. No drug ever had 83% positive studies.
No drug?
No drug.
Not even like antibiotics?
No drug.
For...
No drug.
Wow. That's incredible. Jeff in Tacoma, Washington, you're on the air. Jeff, what's up?
Hey, guys. Great to hear from you. Welcome back, Mel. So I have a pretty serious problem, and so I need some real specific advice from the doctor. Someone very close to me, someone I love very much, has had a range of mental problems throughout her life. And because of her overriding, narcissism or something, won't let her do anything about it, or maybe it's the stigma of mental illness. And so she's pretended to function, but it goes through these like awful lows. And now on top of everything, she's begun exhibiting pretty clear signs of Alzheimer's disease. And it's getting up on the holidays. I'm going to be seeing my family members. Is there anything that you've found that works to get somebody who refuses to seek mental health treatment to actually do something about it?
Here's what I would do. I would call a meeting of everybody who knows her, family and friends, and including her, and get together with the purpose of brainstorming about how to be helpful to her. And what I would do...
Including her?
Including her.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Just,
so it's
I would
like an intervention, basically.
Basically, yes. And I would use the Native American talking circle format. I would have a stick that you pass, and whoever holds it gets to talk as long as they want without interruption, and nobody talks unless they're holding the stick, and just pass it around the circle and go around as many times as you have time, or until there's nothing more to say. And if the result is everyone has told her how much they love her and she still doesn't want help, hey, you've done something powerful anyway.
Wow.
So there's a starting point.
Oh, sounds good.
Thank you very much for the call, Jeff. I appreciate it. And good luck with your friend or relative, Andy in Houston, Texas. Hey, Andy.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I have a really big concern, and I'm really hoping you can offer some helpful advice. I grew up with a mother who was bipolar and also had depression and anxiety. And I've witnessed her characteristics my whole life and observed how she reacts to medication as opposed to when she's not taking it. And I've always noticed that with her medication, she's done great. I know that I've read a lot and heard a lot about medication not necessarily being the best thing for people, but for her, what I've observed is that it does work. Now, here's where it gets really, really complicated. I have a 6-year-old daughter, and it scares me so much when I see her starting to exhibit a lot of the characteristics that my mother showed throughout my life, and I'm worried that she may become bipolar. And my question is, should I even consider medication for a 6-year-old child? How would that affect her development? What are your thoughts on that?
Let me first toss in a caveat that Lewis is a licensed physician and psychiatrist, but he can't prescribe or offer mm-hmm. specific advice
yes, sir.
To you and your family. So this answer has to be in the abstract.
Right.
You know, for somebody in your situation, this is, pardon me for being the mm-hmm. radio
it's okay.
legalistic guy
right.
here.
And you know, in the abstract, we really haven't been talking about bipolar so much on mm-hmm. this program, but what I would say is that there's a lot of things that you can do for 6-year-olds short of medication that, of course, have her evaluated, but keep in mind that there's a lot of behavioral interventions that can be implemented for 6-year-olds, and including family interventions. And people often learn how to regulate their mood from other people in the family. And so I would start with a family session with somebody that you trust in your area. By all means, have her evaluated. But remember that there's 100 ways to approach mood, that medication is not the only way, that yes, in bipolar disorder, many people find it very useful, and there are people that can't get along without it. There are people, however, that are called bipolar who aren't necessarily bipolar, and so it's important not to rush into these things.
Yes, definitely. I've been considering it for the past couple of years. Just real quick, I never really I've been thinking heavily about, maybe the prayer angle, and you just brought it up, which really brought it to the forefront in my mind. Would you recommend seeking prayer first? I'm not trying to make light of my situation, but you have to sometimes when you deal with this kind of thing. But it's like The Exorcist. You see the little girl on the movie, and I mean, she literally becomes almost that angry.
Or could the person who they bring in for the family intervention be somebody out of their faith?
Absolutely. That's studies have shown that if your therapist is the same uh-huh. faith as you, they're much more effective.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it.
Andy, thanks a lot for the call, and
thank you.
And good luck, and best on that. Max in Arlene, Montana. Hey, Max.
Hi, good morning. I'm really excited about this show and Dr. Melodrona. I would like to point to the we have looked at this powerful psychosomatic field that we all inhabit, consciousness, immunology, emotions, nervous system. And Dr. Madrona has pointed to our ability to create health, to create healing with joining our personal field with the field of a group, which makes it even stronger. But also on the other side of it, I'm very concerned with the little media exposure I get of all the ads, the barrage on health symptoms. Or you could have this, and if you do, you need this. You could be hungry sometimes, and you need this drug. You could have a headache, and you need, and we are so familiarized with these symptoms that I'm wondering whether this great network, the psychosomatic network, the field that we inhabit, can create those symptoms if we're subjected to this barrage. I'd like to know Dr. Madrona's views on that.
I can tell you that
as well as healing.
That before the Viagra ads, I hardly ever met anybody with erectile dysfunction. And so I think that the drug companies are really good at creating illnesses for which they have drugs to treat. And on the other hand, You know, that's really the message that I think we have to spread, both in politics and in health, is that we need each other. We need to form networks to help each other and to brainstorm with each other about how to get healthier and to focus on health instead of illness. And you know, most of the problems, 80% in one study, that are brought to physicians are the basic misery of life, stress, things that doctors don't have drugs to treat, and so they give drugs anyway, and better we should turn to each other.
Yeah. We have just a minute before the break. Charles in Oakland, California. Hey, Charles.
Hi, Mr. Hartman. I just want to say, first of all, thank you for your show. I think I've learned a lot from your insights.
Thank you.
But with your topic today, I think one thing that's being overlooked when you're talking about comparable things in the American culture is the church. At my church, we have something called small groups, and there are about 20 or 30 small groups, about 8 to 10 people who meet in homes either once a week or once every couple weeks. And part of it is, you know, discussing the sermon or scripture, but another part of it, a big part of it, is just letting people discuss what's going on in their lives, problems they may be going through. And if there's something severe going on, everything else is scrapped. And all we do is focus on what's going on in this person's life, and we pray with them, we pray for them, we offer each other counsel. And we've seen people who are out of work and losing their homes just need this to get through the day.
Yeah.
Well, and I feel it's very comparable.
Well said, Charles. We'll pick up Lewis's comment on the other side of the break. Stick around. Tom Hartman with you, 45 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman radio program right here on Air America Radio.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman program.
What would Hartman do? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
Individual results may vary. Program not available in all states. See contract for complete terms.
If you're tired of credit card debt with high rates and fees, if you're in over your head dealing with high monthly payments, there's powerful information the credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the power to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt with low monthly payments you can afford. It's yours free by calling 1-800-600-1983. You don't have to declare bankruptcy. Credit Answers represents the highest standards in the industry. We've already helped thousands of people like you save millions of dollars. Just give us 10 minutes and learn how we can help you live better, debt-free. Call for this valuable free information at 1-800-600-1983. That's 1-800-600-1983. 1-800-600-1983.
Are you waking up with Carl Wolfson and friends?
These are less popular suggestions. Abraham Lincoln.
6 to 9.
The Obama's first dog, what name it could be.
Promise, because he promised the girls and he promised us.
Elephant eater.
How about lipstick?
How about rogue?
You've got to have southpaw. I'd like to give it a local name and name it Mutt Safino, the weather dog.
It's Carl Wolfson.
As Abraham Lincoln said.
Morning 6 to 9.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Portland's only progressive talk station.
Hi, this is Tom Dwyer, 230-2300. Hey, don't be lulled by these short-term gas prices. While we experience this temporary period of cheaper gas, remember what $4 and $5 gas feels like. Dwindling oil resources and corporate greed, the causes of high fuel prices, have not changed. You can trust the oil companies to do one thing, make profit. The oil industry spends more money advertising they're green than actually being green. Executive compensation and advertising spending far exceeds their actual budget for alternatives. Oil is a finite resource, and we're sucking off the bottom of the tank. Not familiar with the term peak oil? Then it's time to learn. What are we willing and able to do for transportation in the future? Tom Dwyer Automotive Services is committed to helping you make your transportation as sustainable as possible, whether it's keeping your vehicle running at its best, converting it to ethanol or biodiesel, or helping you with a decision about moving to hybrids or full electrics, we can help. We'd like to earn your trust and welcome you as a valued client. Please check the detailed video testimonials on our website at tomdwyer.com. Or just call us at 503-230-2300.
Price, value, selection. At your local Les Schwab Tire Center, we strive every day to provide you a wide variety of quality products and services at a price that's right, all backed by our legendary Les Schwab warranty. The next time you need tires, wheels, batteries, brakes, or alignment, experience the Les Schwab difference for yourself. Price, value, selection. You'll find it at your Les Schwab Tire Center. Learn more at leschwab.com.
When you think of having it all, just think up north, just downriver. With easy access to Portland without the hassles of city life, the Port of Kalama is a perfect place for your business to flourish. Kalama is close, yet near natural grandeur. Recreation and business-friendly tax benefits await. The Port of Kalama offers all the superior facilities your business needs to thrive and a quality of life without comparison. The Port of Kalama, where business lives. Visit portofkalama.com.
Here's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ.
Don't miss the 13th annual Les Schwab Invitational presented by Fred Meyer December 26th through 30th at Liberty High School in Hillsboro. Featuring 16 teams from Oregon, Washington, California, and New York, the 2008 Les Schwab Invitational includes 4 days of tournament play as well as slam dunk and three-point shootout contest. Get your tickets online now through December 22nd at primetimepdx.com.
And that's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's progressive talk station. Now back to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back to Talk Radio for the Sane Among Us. Speaking of the sane among us, just to wrap up that last segment, and then we've got another guest here. Dr. Louis Melmadrona has been with us this hour, mehl-madrona.com, the website, MD, PhD. And Louis, our last caller, was pointing out the parallels in his Christian church to what you were talking about in the Lakota tradition of the healing circle.
Right, and he probably missed earlier in the hour when I talked about the only place you could find healing circles these days are churches. And that's exactly what I was talking about, and it's wonderful.
And how important and good it is.
Right.
Thank you very much for being with us, Louis.
Thank you.
It's great having you with us. Professor Peter Edelman is with us. He is a professor of law at Georgetown University. During the President Clinton's first term, he served as counselor to HHS Secretary Donna Shalala and as Assistant Secretary for Planning and Evaluation. He is one of the contributors to Mark Green's new book, the book that Mark Green edited, Change for America, A Progressive Blueprint for the 44th President. And the title that he helped co-author is Economic Opportunity for All or A New Gilded Age. Professor Peter Edelman, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Glad to be with you.
And glad to have you with us. In your chapter, some really startling statistics. You point out the median income of men, for example, aged 30 through 39, actually decreased by 12.5% from 74 to 2004. I mean, Reaganomics has really destroyed this country.
Well, that's right. We've had a serious economic problem in this country that we haven't been paying attention to. It's not that the economy hasn't grown. Over that period of time, people at the top made out really well. All the growth that we had is stuck at the top. So during that period, the income of the top 1% of earners increased, almost tripled. But people in the middle and people in the bottom have not done well, and men in particular have really lost ground, so that the comparable people who were that age, 30 to 39, in 1974, those who were the same age in 2004 are earning less than essentially their parents were.
Wow. Now, the question, and by the way, you can find the book, the website is AmericanProgressAction.org/issues/2008/changeforamerica. Maybe next time we can get a shorter URL. Anyhow, the question that immediately comes to mind, Professor Peter Edelman, is this being true, and you know, we both know it is. I've been citing these stats for years as well. Why is it that the average American male between 30 and 39, or at least the majority, are unaware of this and keep voting against their own economic interests, the Thomas Frank conundrum?
Well,
the media never seems to talk about this.
That's really a big issue, a big question, and I think it's a couple things. One is, I'm kind of sad to say, I don't think that the progressive side has made much of a point of this, really, until this election cycle, when things have gotten so terrible that it was just inescapable, and people voted in some cases for Barack Obama, even though maybe they weren't so happy with him personally. I mean, I think they should have been happy with him personally. But there's been a lot of distraction over social issues. The conservative side's been very good at talking about gay marriage and guns and a whole lot of other things. These are things that do concern people. I respect their views, but you know, it's the Thomas Frank kind of thing. Those things have concerned people, and they just haven't paid attention. They thought maybe their own situation was bad, and they didn't understand that they were part of a national structural problem.
And another piece of this, Professor Peter Edelman, is that you wrote about in this new book edited by Mark Green, Change for America, a progressive blueprint for the 44th president. That would, of course, be Barack Obama. Is that economic mobility in the United States has stalled out, and that it's not just a matter of morality or what's nice or what's good or even of the survival of the middle class. It's a matter of what's necessary for a functioning democracy.
Absolutely. People need to have a fair share in the society in order to be full participants. And I think a fair amount of the anger that we've had among particularly people just a little below the middle in their voting over the last 30-plus years is because they were getting a raw deal. And they were frustrated about it. And so we've had this unfairness, and I hope that we can begin to pay attention to it now. First, we have to recover the economy, but as we go forward, for everybody to get a fairer chance and a fairer share.
It seems to me, just looking back over time, over the last 100 years, that during those times, from 1913 to 1921, for example, when the top marginal income tax rate was approaching 85%, from 1935 or 36 until 1980, until 1964, when it was 91%, from 1964 till 1980, what, 2 or 3, when it was 74%, that during those times when the top marginal tax rate were the highest, those also correlate with times of the highest social mobility, economic mobility, the greatest probability that the child of somebody in poverty would actually end up in the middle class or better. And that those times when the top marginal rate crashed during the Roaring Twenties, during the Reagan era, that mobility has dried up. Do you see that relationship?
Well, I think it's partly true. I think it's also true that the economy was growing much more quickly from World War II, the end of World War II on, so that we really did have a rising tide, and it really did. Partly because of the tax structure lift more of the boats. So it's two phenomena. I mean, one is the tide going in or going out, and the other is are we sharing fairly what we have?
Right.
And so we've been struggling really against both of those things the last 30 years. It's been a weak economy, and we haven't been really faced up to that. And then on top of that, we've really been allowing the wealthiest people to pay far less than their fair share.
Yeah, so it's a kind of a chicken and egg phenomena. We're not quite sure
yeah.
which is which. But
it's both.
There is a relationship. Yeah. Professor Peter Edelman, professor of law at Georgetown University, thanks so much for being with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Great talking with you. You can read his chapter in Change for America, Progressive Blueprint for the 44th President, edited by Mark Green and Michelle Jolin. It is 57 minutes past the hour. Coming back, Gene Stone will be with us, the Bush Survival Guide.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at BetterWorldClub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. By the way, here at the mothership, our home station, AM 620 KPOJ in Portland, Oregon, which is where we originate this show. The folks at KPOJ just added this new iTunes application. It's called iHeartRadio, so that KPOJ is now one of those radio stations that you can listen to on your iPhone. If you have an iPhone or iTouch, it requires an iPhone or iTouch to listen to, though. But it allows real-time streaming on 3G phones. So just a heads up, if you've got one and you'd like to try it out, we're experimenting with the technology here, and I thought you might be interested. Gene Stone is on the line with us. He is the author of the New York Times bestsellers The Bush Survival Bible and Duck, the Dick Cheney Survival Bible. Hey, Gene, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
I would like to go through the 12-step program to survive the horrors, to shake off the horrors of the last 8 years with you, if I may. You've written about this extensively. How do we stage an intervention for a friend or a loved one who is dealing with a Bush hangover?
Well, that's just one of the many steps we have in the book. What we did here is we took the basic 12-step program for problems such as alcoholism or, you know, drugs or shopping too much, and we decided that George Bush was a much bigger problem than any of those things. So we came up with a 12-step Bush program to recovery program to get over George Bush, and including an intervention in which we have people talk to those who are suffering and try to get them to understand that, you know, this has been a tough 8 years, and if they don't understand they need recovery, you know, they're not going to make it.
So how do you stage an intervention? I mean, do you grab them and waterboard them? Or
No, we do not.
Hey, it was good enough for George Bush, you know.
But no, we do not believe in torture. We believe that every 12-step program should be abide by the principles of the Geneva Convention.
Yeah, okay. And by the way, let me remind people our toll-free phone number. We'll be covering all the topics of the day in just a few minutes, 866-303-2270. How do you recover financially? How do we, you know, the Bush recovery program, how do people... This is a tough...
Well, that's a terrific question, and certainly it's particularly valid since in the last few days, people in New York, where I live, have lost $50 billion through Bernie Madoff. So to answer that question...
Yeah, he made off with $50 billion, didn't he?
$50 billion. Well, I didn't lose the $50 billion myself. I only lost $20 billion, but other people lost their money.
Okay.
We asked Andy Tobias, the author of The Only Investment Guide You'll Ever Need, to talk about money, and he actually gives a six steps that people really should do. And this part of the book is serious. The book veers from being quite serious to being hilariously funny, if I say so myself. And Andy talks about living light on the land, living beneath your means, keeping your transaction costs low, diversifying, taking full advantage of employer-matched 401ks, and most of all, voting Democratic. As he points out, the economy and the stock market do significantly better under Democratic administrations.
Yeah, that's a good one. How do you undergo the detox? This is, I guess, learning to laugh again, is that?
Well, you know, detox is an important part of any recovery program. And in this particular case, we do believe that the entire country lost its sense of humor for 8 years. So one of the things we're trying to do here is get people to laugh again. I know it was difficult to laugh because George Bush wasn't very laughable. So we tell a bunch of George Bush jokes. And hope that by the time you're done laughing, you know, you'll feel maybe a little better.
Yeah, okay, sounds like a plan. Gene Stone, his book, The Bush Survival Bible, and Duck, the Dick Cheney Survival Bible. Gene, thanks a lot for dropping by today.
Well, thank you very much.
Good talking with you. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. We'll be back with your calls right after this. It's 10 minutes past the hour on the Tom Hartman Radio Program right here on Air America Radio. By the way, if you want to drop into our live chat room, and say happy holidays or throw your opinions my way, you can get over there at TomHartman.com. There's a link also from AirAmerica.com, which is where you will find our live free streaming video as well. 866-303-2270, your calls right after this.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Annoying Republicans by defending the Constitution. Tom Hartman, Nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. Now, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. Yes, there will be fluctuations in the price of gold, but gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You can call ITM, too, at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but in my humble opinion, the long-term future for the dollar is very uncertain. That's why some nations don't even want U.S. dollars today. That's why I'm buying gold for the long term. So call my friends at ITM Trading and talk to their experts. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Just talk to the experts at ITM Trading. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
AM 620 KPOJ conducts various contests weekdays and weekends at various times, offering various prizes to its listeners. By participating in a KPOJ contest, you're agreeing to be bound by the official contest rules for the contest. No purchase necessary. Participants and winners must be U.S. residents, at least 18 years old, and may only enter one time unless otherwise stated in the complete official contest rules. Only one prize per household for any contest within a 30-day period. For complete contest rules, visit the main office of this station during regular business hours.
Are the monthly payments you're receiving from a structured settlement not enough to keep up with your expenses? Do you need cash now? Well, now you can get the future money owed to you in a lump sum. For free information, call Peachtree Settlement Funding, 1-800-300-7153.
The money I was getting every month from my lawsuit just wasn't enough. Now we have the cash to finally pay off our credit cards.
Find out how you can turn your structured settlement into cash now, when you need it most, to pay off the bills that are piling up now.
Our adjustable rate mortgage payments were out of control. If we hadn't gotten this money, we might have ended up losing our house.
Getting this money was like getting my life back. Now I know I can pay my bills every month.
If you have a structured settlement, get the future money you have coming to you now. For your free information, call Peachtree Settlement Funding at 1-800-300-7153. That's 1-800-300-7153. 1-800-300-7153.
Rates, policy forms, and availability vary by state.
Why spend more than you have to on your life insurance? Did you know that term life insurance rates have fallen over 60% in the last 10 years? I'm Byron Udell, founder of AccuQuote. At AccuQuote.com, we monitor the rates, features, and financial strength of hundreds of life insurance products. For example, a healthy 40-year-old can protect his family with $500,000 of 10-year level term for less than $19 a month. Female rates are even lower. And don't forget to ask us about the new term life policies that guarantee your money back even if you don't die. Since 1986, we've helped hundreds of thousands of people just like you save a fortune on their life insurance. Why not find out how much you can save? Write down this number and call today for your free quote. Call 800-500-6963. One 5-minute call is all it takes. 800-500-6963. That's 800-500-6963.
Hi, I'm Cheryl Crow, cancer survivor. If you want to know where the leading cancer research is being done, check out City of Hope Cancer Center. New drugs, new treatments that are saving lives everywhere. For information, go to CherylCrowForHope.org.
Music Millennium has over 100,000 gift ideas, including the largest recorded music selection in the Northwest, music and movie DVDs, vinyl, vintage toys and games, and other unique gift ideas. Happy holidays from Music Millennium, located at 32nd and East Burnside.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back to your radio support group for We the People of the United States of America, of the planet. Actually, I know we have listeners all over the world. 866-303-2270 is our telephone number. And Gary in Shreveport, Louisiana. Hey, Gary, what's on your mind today?
Hello, Tom. How are you?
Just great, Gary, but I'll get better. How about you?
Look, I'm doing well. Look, here's my question with the the bailout for the banks. See, my problem, we own a small business here, and the bank suddenly caught a line of credit. And the problem we're all having is by the time the banks start lending again, let's say 6 months down the road, we're not going to, our credits are going to be deteriorating. In other words, we're not going to, so in other words, when we apply 6 months down the road to get credit, the bank will say, no, you got bad credit.
Yep. No, it's a terrible. Go ahead.
A lot of small businesses are finding, I've talked to several of them, finding themselves in the same situation.
Yeah.
So, if the businesses are feeling that way, I would imagine the banks are, the common man is probably in the same problem 6 months down the road.
Yeah.
Their credits are going to be a lot lower than it is now, and they're not going to be qualified.
It is, and they're going to start cutting back on credit cards as well. Gary, you've identified a huge problem, and it's one that, you know, the Bush administration said, oh, yeah, we're going to give all this money to the banks, and they're going to solve the problem. And the banks took the money. What did they use it for? They bought other banks. What did they use it for? They gave themselves big bonuses and salaries. What did they use it for? They actually paid dividends to their stockholders with our tax dollars. And then when it comes time to bail out the auto industry, where you've got 3 million unionized workers, oh, no, we can't do that. Those people, they're making $1 an hour more than the auto workers in Tennessee or South Carolina or Alabama. That's not right. I mean, this is the insanity of it. By the way, it's not just hitting for-profit corporations. It's hitting not-for-profits as well. If you are inclined to, for Christmas giving, SalemChildrensVillage.org is a charity that Louise and I started back in 1978, a community for abused kids, and in New Hampshire. It's there. It's running very well. It's a great program, and we've been using a line of credit to fund payroll because the state is behind in making their payments to the program, and the bank is now getting skittery about lines of credit because they just don't have the money. And so this is a really tough time for charities all over the place, including the one that we started. And so if you are inclined to be giving during this holiday season, please check out SalemChildrensVillage.org. Bill in Portland. Hey, Bill, what's up?
Hi, Tom. What I really wanted to allude to was this Obama putting this pastor from Saddleback Church.
Yeah, Rick Warren.
Yeah. Well, my real question is, do these people, are they going to get it? Because it's not a lack of intelligence. And I've seen it in the church that I've attended, and it's been kind of an ongoing battle where they want to do good. We do a lot of good things. We have baskets at Thanksgiving. We have a garden we do, and we send a snow cap in Gresham. And some really good people. But they cannot, or they will not, connect the dots between the problems in our society, the want, the declining middle class, and the policies.
Yeah.
And they're so embraced with the Republican Party, by and large. Not all, but by and large.
Well, in large part, Bill, that's because the Republican Party went to the effort to reach out to them. During the Reagan administration and the last 2 years of the Reagan administration and the time that Bush Sr. was running for office after Reagan left office, the guy, his point man to reach out to the evangelical churches across the United States was George W. Bush, his son. He was traveling around to the churches bringing these people in. During the Nixon administration, or after the Nixon administration, actually, it was Chuck Colson, and still is. So the Republicans have made the effort, and that's why I think, you know, it's a good thing that Barack Obama is making this effort to reach out to these folks and bring them in, because I think that, by and large, I don't know, Rick Warren, and it's, I think the issue is much bigger than him. I think it's the millions of followers, the millions of members of these churches. They are, by and large, good people who need to be reached out to, and we fail to do so. We progressives fail to do so at our own peril. Good point, Bill. Thank you for the call. John in Detroit. Hey, John, what's up?
Just fine. How are you doing today?
Good.
First time caller. I want to find out what your take is on our fellows from down south that they want to, you know, see Detroit go out of business, the car companies, and no, I don't work for a car company, and I'm just wondering what you think about them driving the foreign cars and who's supplying the foreign cars to them. Are they gratis from, say, Mercedes-Benz for the guy from Alabama and Corp?
It's probably not that small. Here's the real issue, John. It's really twofold. Number one, organized labor is the only large, nationwide, largely progressive. I realize that there's a lot of, you know, rednecks who work on the assembly lines who vote for George Bush, but nonetheless, organized labor is the only large progressive institution organized institution in the United States that really has enormous political power and multi-generational political power. And therefore, the Republicans want to drive a stake through the heart of it. And one of the most powerful components of organized labor is the United Auto Workers. And so if they can destroy the UAW, they help take down organized labor. They help take down their political opposition, A. B, the only reason that Mercedes in Alabama and Hyundai in Alabama and Toyota in Alabama and Toyota in all of these foreign companies, these big five foreign auto manufacturers in Alabama, in Louisiana, in Tennessee, in South Carolina, the only reason that they're paying $26 an hour to their workers when workers in Detroit are making $27 an hour is because they are afraid that if they pay $15 an hour, the UAW will come in and their workers will say, hey, the UAW has got $27 an hour up in Detroit. We should bring the union in. And so they're doing the only reason that they're paying decent wages is fear of unionization. If they can destroy the UAW, then they can cut their wages in half and still be above the minimum wage. And they will. And that's going to make those companies more profitable, which is going to make the campaign contributions to these, Mitch McConnell and Corker and Shelby and all these other toxic right-wing Republican, hate America first, hate the American workers, senators. It's going to make their campaign contributions go through the roof. That's what it's all about, John. It's about destroying organized labor and about jacking up the profits for the foreign auto manufacturers so they can take more of that money back to Germany, more of that money back to Japan. To hell with America. That's the perspective of these Republican senators, period. Kim in Arlington, Texas. Hey, Kim.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. It's a little worked up, I guess, but fine.
Well, I have a quick comment and a question. I've been watching George Bush rewrite history this week on television. He and Dick Cheney both, and I've just been flabbergasted by the comments, particularly about the Iraq War. And I want to know if you can explain to me how would it be if charges were brought against George Bush and Cheney and their administration for their war crimes? And who would initiate that? Would it be the new Obama administration? Could it be the UN? Like, how would that happen? And are we likely to see it?
Well, there is a book called The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder by the former prosecutor who prosecuted Charles Manson and wrote Helter Skelter. And he's suggesting in the book that the way to do this is that people who have state jurisdictional power, I don't think that murder is a federal crime. The murder of certain federal officials might be a federal crime, but murder in general is considered a state crime. And so what he's suggesting is that state prosecutors or prosecutors at the state level, county prosecutors, for example, could bring murder charges against members of the Bush administration for on behalf of families who live in their counties or in their states who died in Iraq or Afghanistan, and particularly Iraq, and that would be one way to prosecute these guys. Others are being pursued by people like Michael Ratner with the Center for Constitutional Rights. The Center for Constitutional Rights are the ones who tried to get Don Rumsfeld arrested when he was in Germany, nearly succeeded, who have brought forward now four cases before the Supreme Court on behalf of detainees in Guantanamo Bay successfully now four times. These guys are doing great, great work. Ellen Ratner's brother, Michael, who's in charge of it, and he's just they're taking names and kicking butt. And so there's a lot of ways this can be pursued. Also, after Bush is out of office, it'll be very interesting to see if the International Court at The Hague will have any interest in prosecuting him and Cheney and the other and John Yoo, who's hiding out in Berkeley, or any of these other criminals from the Bush administration, criminals in my opinion, for the crimes that they committed, in essentially destroying the American way, destroying this country's reputation around the world, in empowering al-Qaeda and leading to the death of millions of people, hundreds of thousands of human beings and thousands of Americans. Kim, it's an excellent question and one that we need more of. Ron in Boca Raton, Florida. Hey, Ron, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, how are you doing?
Great.
I read an article this morning online from the L.A. Times, and it said that the foreign oil companies want to cut their payroll, so they need to get the UAW out of the way.
Yep, my point exactly. I've been saying that. I've been saying that from day one. You know, I so saw this coming. It's all about destroying the American middle class is all about two things. Number one, jacking up the wealth of the very wealthy, and number two, reducing the rest of us to a level of semi-poverty where we will not have the means to go out on the streets and protest. During the 60s and 70s, go ahead, Ron, I'm sorry.
was by Chuck Rayner in the L.A. Times this morning, if anybody's interested. But he specifically mentioned one of the bigger foreign companies, and they want to go to the local prevailing wage, which would be about $12 an hour or something, I think.
Yep, there you go. I hadn't seen the article, but it's, you know, I've been saying this right from the beginning, and he is so right, this author in the Los Angeles Times. It is, you know, I mean, that's just the direction they're going. Chris in Austin, Texas. Hey, Chris, what's up?
I got 2 points. One is you got the ridiculous situation where someone who makes $40,000 a year and is on the hook for $24,000 for the TARP sits across the desk from a guy whose bonus he just subsidized and can't get a $6,000 car loan. And we've also created a situation where you now have retail banks merged with investment banks, which is now in their interest to deny credit to drive down asset prices. They can make a lot more crashing the economy and buying all these stock assets at a much lower value than they can off 8% car loans.
You're absolutely right. The very wealthy typically do very well during cyclical downturns because it's a buying opportunity.
Oh, yeah. And now we've aligned. Now banks are in a situation where since, you know, you had the investment banks now move into commercial and retail banking, well, they'll be using people's deposits to buy these assets when they can crash the assets by not granting people credit to consume the products.
Yeah, and this is a separation that historically was there at law and should be again. We need to bring back Glass-Steagall, among other things, Chris.
Who wants an 8% car loan when you can make a five-bagger on a stock?
There you go. Chris, thank you very much. Very well said. 27 minutes past the hour. Christy Harvey coming up next from the Center for American Progress, the Director of Strategic Communications, with our news for the week that has flown by and large under the radar of the corporate media. Stick around.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Wasn't Jesus a community organizer? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Defending America from the Weapons of Mass Deception. Tom Hartman here with you, 34 minutes past the hour. Christy Harvey on the line with us, the Director of Strategic Communications at the Center for American Progress, AmericanProgress.org, and now a resident of Sarah Palin's home state. Hey, Christy.
That's right. I work at CAPAK. That's what we're calling the new branch we've opened here that exists of me in my dining room. CAPAK. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well.
And what does CAPAK stand? Oh, Alaska.
Alaska, yes. Center for American Progress, Alaska style.
Oh, CAP, C-A-P.
I get it.
Okay. All righty. So the news that has flown under the radar here this week, this I find amazing. Arrested for wearing a headscarf?
Yeah, this is very strange, and this is something that took place in Georgia. And when I first read it, I thought, oh, they're obviously talking about Georgia, former Soviet Union Georgia, and then I realized they were talking about Atlanta, Georgia. And a woman was in court to testify in something completely different, a different trial, and she refused to take her headscarf off going through the security checkpoints or in the courtroom.
She was Muslim.
And she was wearing her traditional Muslim headscarf.
Right.
And the judge grew increasingly angry and insisted that she take it off, and she said no, that this was, you know, it's shameful to show your hair in public, and she was a devout Muslim, and so he ordered her arrested. And she was arrested for contempt of court for keeping her headscarf on, and she's now going to serve 10 days in the slammer.
Wow.
I just thought was, you know, you don't usually think of a state of the United States as being that intolerant. It was shocking to me when I read that.
You wonder if it had been a Hasidic woman wearing a wig, or if it had been a cancer, somebody undergoing chemotherapy, a woman with breast cancer wearing a wig, if he would have thrown them in jail for not taking their wig off.
Well, exactly. Or, you know, if an African man had come in traditional garb, or, you know, just there's so many different
kinds. Yeah, show me your legs, buddy.
Right. There's so many different kinds of people who, you know, wear things for very different reasons. But she was going through metal detectors. It's not as if, you know, they thought she was smuggling grenades in or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, they were able to see that she was not doing anything wrong. But they just were being very intolerant and just did not want her in that scarf.
Now, with regard to Blackwater, I saw a news story last week that Blackwater, in fact, I think we reported about it on this show, that they are developing in-house a division to offer security to ships at sea against pirates.
Yes.
Might this be because their long-term prospects with the U.S. government are limited?
It is. There's a new State Department advisory panel that was put together specifically to look at Blackwater. And they came out with a big report yesterday. It's still classified, but we know from different officials in the State Department what's in there. And this panel is recommending that the State Department and the U.S. government drop Blackwater as the people who provide security for American diplomats over in Iraq. And there's a bunch of things. Of course, there were the 17 people who were murdered at the traffic stop last year that they've been under investigation for. And the Blackwater contractors involved with that just turned themselves in. But there have also been, you know, they used poison gas on people to clear up a traffic jam. Or not poison gas, but they used tear gas to clear up a traffic jam. And they have been smuggling weapons into Iraq that they're not supposed to. And so there have been all of these problems. So this panel said, too many problems. We need to ditch Blackwater, especially because Iraq is in the middle of trying to decide whether or not to ban Blackwater from their country.
Right.
So if we're not ready for that, then we're going to be in trouble unless we have a sort of plan B in place.
Now, Blackwater was founded by a member of the Prince family, which is who's related to the DeVos family in Grand Rapids. I mean, this is an old and well-connected and very wealthy Republican family that out of which all this is coming. Is the Republican Party running to the rescue of Blackwater?
No one has really stepped up yet, just because there have been so many problems. But the biggest problem, that it's just not very easy to say no more Blackwater, because there aren't really any other corporations.
Mercenary companies?
Mercenary companies.
But there weren't before Blackwater. I mean, before Blackwater, we just did this stuff with the Army. What's wrong with going back to that?
Exactly. Well, that's what's going to have to happen. But right now, with the Army stretched as thin as it's been by these two wars, you know, they don't have the personnel to do these security campaigns, they're saying. So they're either going to have to, A, find another contractor who can take care of things like this, which looks difficult to do, or B, rejigger the Army, as, you know, Donald Rumsfeld really shrank it down, rejigger the Army to try and have these available soldiers to take care of these duties like they used to in the past.
Yeah, interesting. The end of the world as we know it?
The scientists have set a date for the possible end of the world, yes. There is a very slight chance, don't be worried, but I know you like the science stuff, but there's a very slight chance when you look at the orbits and the mass and all of the scientific stuff that we could be hit by a 50-million-ton asteroid named Apophis on Easter Sunday in 2036.
Whoa.
So, yes, 2036, not terribly far away. So they had this summit in Hawaii this week, and they said, you know, it's a one in million chance that this is going to happen. But if it's ever going to happen, you know, we're going to be passing very, very close to this asteroid. And the math is still a little fuzzy, but there's a possibility 2036, Easter Sunday, could be the day that we get hit. So
is that, am I doing my math right? That's 18 years from now, or is that 28
yes.
years from now?
I think that's, yeah, no, I think your math is right. My math is terrible, so I'll just go with whatever
yeah.
you say.
Well, I'm just, you know, yeah, I can't do math in my head, but I'm curious, Apophis, A-P-O-P-H-I-S is the name of the asteroid. Any idea what that, it's not like Shiva, the god of destruction from the Hindu, you know, I mean, what, any idea what the name of the asteroid means, what the etymology is of that?
I really don't, but that's definitely something to look into. But
yeah,
people have been talking about Apophis for years and years now, because it's always been on this trajectory, and everyone keeps assuming that at some point it'll veer off a little bit. But that veering has not happened yet.
It's time to call Bruce Willis.
Exactly. We need him now. I found it. Apophis is the Greek name of the Egyptian enemy Ra, the uncreator, a serpent that dwelled in eternal darkness. So, I know the conspiracy theories should go wild over this one.
Holy cow. The asteroid is named after basically the Lord of the Underworld, the uncreator.
Exactly.
Cell phones are rapidly replacing hardwired home phones. There's a couple of dimensions to this. In fact, Louise and I are kicking around the idea. We used to have a cell phone with a plan on it, and when we were living in Vermont, this was like, 5 years ago or 6 years ago, and the company kept charging me for roaming charges for when I was at home, right? And it finally made me so crazy, I called up and paid the penalty to cancel the thing, and we had a ritual burying of the cell phone. And ever since then, I have used a prepaid 10 cents a minute phone. I mean, I refuse to have a plan. But Louise and I have been kicking around the idea of actually getting back to having a cell phone with a plan. We've been looking at the iPhone, and maybe doing away with our home phone line. And apparently, we're part of a huge trend.
You really are. You're on the cutting edge of this. When I lived in D.C., did not have a home phone. I only had my cell phone. And now living in Alaska, sunspots and things like that make the cell phone not quite as reliable, so we do have a landline. But they say now, the new census numbers have come out, and they looked into absolutely everything. And they now say that 18% of households only have their cell phone.
That's roughly 1 in 5, and there's a very big difference in the way that cell phones are listed in the telephone directory or in the directories that are available, the databases, from landlines. How does that affect things like polling?
It has a huge effect on things like polling because basically people, and it's a very young phenomenon also, a lot of people under the age of, say, 25 or 30 don't have landlines because they've never really used them. They've always just had cell phones. And so that's an entire section of the population that is not answering their landlines at dinner time to take these, how do you feel about the economy sort of research polls. And so when you read things like the new New York Times poll or the new Gallup poll, it's a very different section of the U.S. than it used to be.
Yeah. Another one that flew under the radar here, your boyfriend sounds like my burger, smells like my burger.
There's a new cologne out, and I just thought this was so gross, but I had to send it to you. We always talk, we have recently, about weird Christmas presents that you can get people this year if you want to be remembered.
Yes, we had the dog poo calendar on yesterday.
Right, exactly. Burger King has come out with a cologne. It's a men's cologne called Flame. It's $4, and they say it smells like, quote, seduction with a hint of flame-broiled meat.
Now, does this mean that if you walk into a Burger King and you ask for a flame-broiled burger, they're going to give you a burger that's been slathered with cologne?
Possibly, or more likely, it's like if you're getting ready for your next date, you can smell like you just, rubbed a Whopper on your neck. And, it sounds like a pretty good gag gift to give to the man in your life.
Do you think that they're selling it as a gag gift?
Burger King has really tried to have this edgy marketing campaign with those creepy King commercials and things like that. So I think they realized that people would be talking if they had a cologne that smelled like smoky meat.
So maybe there's a market for it out there. Amazing. Christy Harvey. Christy Harvey, the Director of Strategic Communications at the Center for American Progress from CAP-AK. Christy, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
And that's AmericanProgress.org, of course, is the website. 45 minutes past the hour.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Fighting mind-numbing incompetence. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. Now, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. Yes, there will be fluctuations in the price of gold, but gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You can call ITM, too, at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but in my humble opinion, the long-term future for the dollar is very uncertain.
That's why some nations don't even want U.S. dollars today. That's why I'm buying gold for the long term. So call my friends at ITM Trading and talk to their experts. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Just talk to the experts at ITM Trading. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
Ed Schultz.
The biggest story on the face of this earth is America. What do you really think of your workers?
Noon to 3.
The partisan divide is alive and well. The attack on the working folk of America is now in full gear. What's the difference between the governor of Illinois selling off a Senate seat,
the Ed Schultz Show,
and some southern Republican senator protecting his backside for the next election?
Noon to 3.
By cutting the head off American auto manufacturers.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Here's something to think about. Are you living or are you thriving? Sure, some people like to keep tropical fish, while others like to snorkel with them. And there are people who like to sing in the shower, and those who can't wait to sing at karaoke night. Well, you get what it means to thrive. That's why Kaiser Permanente Senior Advantage offers a plan that helps you get more out of Medicare and more out of life. You can start thriving with our exceptional range of benefits, with conveniently located medical services that save you from running all over town, not to mention low co-pays and practically no paperwork, so you can get on with your life. For more information about our plans, which start at just $39 a month, or to find a seminar near you, call toll-free 1-866-829-3730. Kaiser Permanente. May you live long and thrive. All plans offered and underwritten by Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Northwest, 500 Northeast Multnomah Street, Suite 100, Portland, Oregon, 97232. Kaiser Permanente is a Medicare Advantage organization with a Medicare contract.
Imagine being able to fill your palm with a rare piece of history. It's possible because the New York Mint has just issued an exclusive proof of the breathtaking $100 Union. Proposed by George T. Morgan, it was to be the largest U.S. coin ever in denomination, weight, and size. Now, in a rare offering, the New York Mint has announced the release of a limited quantity of $100 Union coins to the public. Struck in gleaming proof silver and sealed at the Mint, this $100 Union has never and will never be circulated. This coin will be offered for a limited time on a first-come, first-served basis by calling the New York Mint at 1-800-500-9551. This brilliant coin masterpiece fills the palm and the senses with weight and historical presence. To get your hands on this unique piece of history and receive a free collector's DVD, call the New York Mint directly. 1-800-500-9551. Quantities are limited. Call 1-800-500-9551.
Road conditions have you worried? Enjoy the sure-footed confidence of a new four-wheel drive Jeep from Beaverton's Northwest Jeep. Save up to $14,000 on select models now during Northwest Jeep's 2008 closeout. See their entire inventory online at nwjeep.com. Your best bet for Jeep, Beaverton's Northwest Jeep.
Recycling old rechargeable batteries from Cordless Electronics is a great way to do something good for the environment. Go to calltorecycle.org to learn where you can recycle your old rechargeable batteries. If it's rechargeable, it's recyclable. A public service message of this station and call to recycle.org.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program, brought to you by you, our listeners, supporting our show, supporting your radio station, and supporting our advertisers. Let them know that you're listening. Very quickly here, Marcia in Atlanta, you wanted to just correct a bit of information that Christy was sharing us about the headscarf arrest?
There was an article in yesterday's Journal Constitution in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
The headline was "Muslim Scarf Leads to Arrest at Courthouse." And it actually happened in Douglasville, which is an exurb, not even a suburb, but
yeah.
It's the Atlanta area. Metro area.
But
it's not in the city.
Yep, okay.
Number one, I can give you the judge's name. I'm sitting here looking at the article.
Yeah, that's okay, Marcia. Thanks for the clarification, though. I appreciate it. And, you know, having lived in Atlanta for 13 years, yeah, I know where Douglasville is, and you're right. It's, you know, arguably, given how much Atlanta's grown, it's a piece of it. Anyway, Ellen Ratner on the line, Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com. Hey, Ellen, what's on your mind today? What's going on in the world?
Hi,
are just about to put something on our website that says that the Oversight Committee on the House side, I believe, yes, indicates that the CIA rejected White House efforts to insert the claim that Iraq sought uranium from Africa into two speeches by President Bush in the 2003 State of the Union address. And this is a memo. I went to Waxman's committee. You can now get the memo at the three W's, oversight.house.gov, and they will actually email it to you by request as well.
Wow. And you know, is there going to be a consequence of this?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, there is a lot of pressure on the new president, and even a very large editorial, which I'm sure you saw this morning, the New York Times, that the people responsible for the Abu Ghraib stuff and the Guantanamo stuff need to be prosecuted. But given that, you know, we have the Saddleback Church minister speaking at the inauguration, I don't think Obama is going to go with that.
I'm not sure that those necessarily tie together. My take on the Saddleback Church thing is that Obama is trying to reach out to his followers, and that might be ultimately a good thing. If Obama, I mean, there's 10, 20, 30 million people who have read Rick Warren's books or participate in churches.
Right, and I think politically it makes sense, but again, the choice movement, the gay movement are not very happy campers.
Yeah, I understand. Neither are the right-wingers. So, you know, Rick Warren is getting enormous flack for this, and the right-wing blogs are all freaked out that he has gone over to the side of the enemy. Well, anyway, we'll see how that all shakes out. What else is going on in the world?
Okay. We've got some leading economic indicators down again in November. I know I always give you this financial news that you're not terribly happy with, 0.4% in November. Also today at the White House briefing, Dana Perino was asked a lot about the auto bailout, and she said we're in the middle of a recession. She said the overwhelming evidence is the collapse of the American auto industry would have a negative consequence. She says there's only one person who has the responsibility to make that decision. That's the president. She said the president is not going to allow a disorderly collapse of the companies. It's not an option. And she said that this disorderly collapse would mean something very chaotic. She said that there is, you know, obviously, yes, the auto workers often take time off at Christmas. They don't necessarily take a month off. She said that they are very, very close, but she doesn't want to characterize what this is going to look like. She was asked whether the auto bailout is going to be done by executive order, Tom, and she said that it's one option they're looking at to see if it's possible. She said the other one of these is bankruptcy. She said they are looking at an entire range. Then there is a question of the seven Republican senators who have asked the president not to use the TARP funds for the auto industry. She said that she doesn't know whether the president has yet gotten a formal response.
Here's my prediction of what's going to happen, and this is going to be George Bush's final farewell kiss, in the sense of the fellow who threw the shoe at him, to the U.S. Organized labor movement, to the United Auto Workers specifically. He will use the TARP funds, but he'll use them as if it was the bank to back up a bankruptcy. You know, the reason why the auto companies can't go into bankruptcy right now is because if you go into reorganizational bankruptcy where you continue to operate, you must get bridge funding. You must get a loan that bridges you through that bankruptcy to do it the way that United Airlines did, for example, last year or the year before. And there are no banks right now that are willing to loan these companies that kind of money. And so Bush could come along, and instead of giving them the money to operate, he could force them into bankruptcy and let the U.S. government be the bank that offers the bridge loan for the bankruptcy. And the benefit to Bush and to the Republicans and to these plantation mentality senators who want to drive a stake through the heart of the UAW so that the foreign auto workers in their states can start paying $12 an hour instead of $25 an hour. The benefit to them is that a bankruptcy will void all the labor contracts and it'll destroy the UAW.
Right.
I am predicting that's what Bush is going to do. It'll be the worst thing that could happen to the American labor movement.
You really do? I think he is going to work much more with the Democratic Congress. I think he is spooked.
I don't think so. I you know, this guy is unrepentant. He is.
You see, and I've got to tell you, I think I have seen a very different President Bush in the last 2 months. Very different.
Really?
And I know you think I'm crazy, but
no, I don't think you're crazy. You're
very
you're...
different personality.
I have tremendous respect for your observations, Ellen. I know, you know, your background in counseling and psychology, and you're also right there in the White House. You're a White House, you know the guy. I'm astounded to hear it, but I believe you.
I know. I actually wrote a blog for Fox. I said, if we had had who would we have had in the last 8 weeks, or the last 8 years, we may not be in the mess we're in.
That's very, very interesting. Well, we'll see.
I just see very differently now. But, you know,
yeah.
Time will tell whether it's you or me on this one.
Hey, I'll bet you dinner on it.
Okay.
Okay. There you go. We'll see. Ellen Ratner with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com. Thank you, Ellen. Always great to hear from Ellen and get her updates. Coming up tomorrow, of course, it's Friday. So Senator Bernie Sanders will be here taking your questions on any topic. So drop in our first hour, the second hour, third hour. We're going to do our Geeky Science Rocks, and, of course, it's Anything Goes Friday. The whole range of topics throughout the week. Don't forget, my friends, democracy begins with you. Tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. For exclusive audio archives and more information, visit HartmanRadio.com.